Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible. This program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, is there a connection between the rise of the LGBTQIA-affirming churches and the current national obsession with Satan? Man, I got a bunch of things to talk about today, all of them wild and all of them connected at their root. Perhaps you haven't noticed it, and I say that with heavy sarcasm, but the world that we live in has gone to hell in a handbasket, literally falling apart at the seams. Now, okay, if that was only the condition of the world, we would expect that to be true. But what about the church? Instead of being a bold witness for Jesus Christ, the church has become sissified, lukewarm, and confused after a steady diet of no doctrine for the past couple of decades. And what about all these exorcisms? Oh, yeah, man, that's the business. That's where we are. Where exactly is that, you ask? Well, I'm going to show you. Acts chapter 20, verses 29 through 31. For this I know, says the Apostle Paul, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast at the Vatican in Rome, they're creating a paranormal task force at the Pontifical Mariana International Academy. Seems that they want to investigate statues of the Virgin Mary that bleed at the eyes and various mystical phenomenon. And of course, exorcisms, which have been dramatically on the rise. In theaters across America today, a movie entitled Nefarious opens with the tagline, "Speak of the Devil." It's billed as a Christian film and has garnered enthusiastic reviews from people like Mormon Glenn Beck, Roman Catholic Father Carlos Martin, and the far-left, hyper-charismatic Charisma magazine. Yeah. Well, hey, Christian, somebody is trying to get you out of your Bible and pull you into the paranormal. I didn't say supernatural. Your Bible is a supernatural book. I said the paranormal. I do not recommend that you go to see this movie Nefarious. And today on this podcast, we'll show you how all of this is connected with the shocking rise of the LGBTQIA plus affirming churches across America, as the falling away, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, is now at an end. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We commit this time to you, God. And today, hey, Lord, we're going to be talking about some crazy things today. We're going to talk about the things of Satan and devils and the paranormal. And we just ask you, Lord, to set a hedge of protection about everybody listening, about me as the speaker, Lori Ann and Jeanette as they work the chat room, over all of us, God. Please put a hedge of protection that we can talk about these things fearlessly and expose the works of the enemy. From the prayer list today, we're praying salvation for Rita's friend Dan in Colorado, Ron, Spray of Sunshine, Daniel Patrick and Brian. Shannon's praying for Lori W. and Brian M. Rick Dotson needs to get saved, and he needs to get saved fast. His health is failing. Jan Lacker's son, David. Barbara is praying for Robert, Naomi, Blake, Alex, Ethan, Raquel, Janet, and Chandel. Nicole Zimmer, praying for salvation for her best friend and family, the Meads and the Cooks. Cheyenne is praying for Barry K, Terry C, Alan G, Melody, Nick, Rick, and Beth. Karen is praying for Jason and Tiffany and grandchildren Summer, Austin, and Emmett. People who need a healing today. Annetta, healing from a stroke. Robert Wiley, ALS disease. Rob Beatty is in hospice with colon cancer. Clayton Perry, battling the side effects of chemotherapy. Craig Arford and Harmon's son Michael, and they're battling pancreatic cancer. Aaron Riddle's sister Tracy, metastatic breast cancer. Sarah Shine, possible reoccurrence of cancer. Also, please pray for her children, Nicole, Sherry, and Scott. Maddie Luck has been diagnosed with Lewy body dementia. Jill Puckett is losing her vision. Rebecca Lynn is praying for Joel Smith, who had a stroke and he's not saved. And Doug's brother David had a heart attack. Doug said that he got saved, but the Lord chose not to heal him. And he says, my sisters and I were able to spend some of his last hours praying with him, a very special time, and he knows that he's home with the Lord. Amen. Linda praying for Hannah's mom, who is very sick after getting blood clots. Natalie and her husband Ken have health issues. Marilyn praying for Tim Kelly about a surgery for a tracheotomy removal. Patricia Alliston praying for husband Ron, who has cancer. Sharon Hansen needs a healing from dementia. Kyle Gorzel is praying for his uncle David, who's recovering. Craig Arford is going to have surgery on his pancreas, and please pray about that. Gary says, my friend Carrick from Pennsylvania has MS, and we are praying for him. And Paul Caulfield is battling type 1 sugar diabetes. And we are praying that he will be able to get the medical attention he needs up there in socialist Canada. Women who are pregnant, Elena Blackburn, Kelsey Emerson, Aaron Riddle, Gary Tatterson's daughter, Kayla, Linda and Joe LaPiana, their son and daughter-in-law are expecting. April, praying for her niece, 16 weeks pregnant. Terry Bryant's daughter, Jillian, is expecting, and Heather's daughter is pregnant, but she is unsaved. And Mark Saxa would like his son Joseph to return to the Lord. Aunt Nancy continues to pray for Brandon and Michelle for salvation. Leslie has a financial situation that the Lord and only the Lord can fix. Palmetto State guy praying for his mother Eunice and father Paul with health issues. Diane has grandchildren Connor and Victoria, who are in the transgender confusion, and we pray that they would get out and get saved. Rebecca D. is praying for daughter Tamaya, herself, and Leah. Ramona Hayes is praying for her daughter Kimberly, who is fighting alcohol. Also, unsaved grandchildren, the families of William Potter, Jason Taylor, David Taylor, and Amanda Odell. Sarah Carbonera is praying for Vince, a young man with depression and suicidal thoughts. We are praying for the Hoffer clan up in Canada. We recently sent them 50 Ruckman Reference Bibles, and they listen to these broadcast, podcast, Bible studies all the time. And we are so glad to welcome the Hoffer clan to the NTEB family of Bible believers up there in Canada. And just please pray that God would use them to get something done while we still have time left. Unspoken prayers. The LaPiana family, Jeanette, Marie C., Adrian P. Breda, Chris Hart, Kate, John Bayor, Steve, and Haley and Dan. They all have unspoken prayers. From the chat room today, Ron Wooter. Urgent prayer request. My oldest daughter, Sherry, is an alcoholic and has been sober for 150 days, but she is showing suicidal tendencies. Her sister, Tracy, listens to the NTEB podcast and has been here in the chat room. We are all praying that the Lord will lay his hands on Sherry. And I can relate to that, brother. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 1, that wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And there was a time in my life, a rather extended time, where I was not wise and I was deceived by alcohol. And part of what we're going to be talking about on the podcast today is America's sudden obsession with Satan. And wherever you see Satan, you see alcohol. They go hand in hand. Have you ever driven past your local liquor store where they sell wine and spirits? You ever wonder about that? Johnny Depp in Pirates of the Caribbean, what does he drink? He drinks the demon rum. You know, what was his name in Jack Nicholson in The Shining? And he spelled out that word red rum. Well, what is red rum backwards? It's murder. So wherever, and I'm glad that you brought this up, brother, because wherever you see Satan, you see alcohol. They go hand in hand. And so please pray for Sherry Wooter. And she's been sober 150 days. That's a pretty good stretch. And Sherry, if you're listening, I'll be happy to get on the phone with you anytime and talk about this. I have been where you are exactly, even down to the suicidal thoughts. And I'll be happy to share my testimony with you and hope it would be a blessing to you. Regina Danner. She has some praises. God is so good. Linda, who is a believer that we've been praying for, no longer has a blood clot in her heart. Still needs prayer for continued healing. She has a way to go, but that is a huge step. Regina says, my daughter Jennifer, who is a believer, has passed her comps. She doesn't have to do revisions or defend. And first time through, unheard of. But God is in charge, and we prayed for Jennifer many, many times as she went through her comps, and we rejoice with these two praise reports with Regina. Joseph says, I would like to thank everybody for their prayers. My knee surgery went well. Glad to be here. Amen. You're welcome. Glad to have you. Rob Beatty update from Raylene. He's tired. He slept all day. He just wants to go home and be with Jesus. And Raylene says, I talked to him about a miracle healing and praying for that. He says he doesn't want a miracle healing. He just wants to go home and be with the Lord. He's on morphine. And, well, when you're on morphine, that's the end. And when my dad was in hospice, he was in a lot of pain, and the nurse said, I can put him on morphine, but if I do, that's going to start the clock. And so please pray for Brother Rob Beatty. He just wants to go home and be with the Lord. And look, he was in the hospital last week for a couple of days. And he wasn't sitting there whining and crying and complaining and saying, Lord, why me? You know what he was doing? He was praising the Lord and witnessing to the nurses and to the doctors and to anybody who would listen. When I go out, if I don't make the rapture, that's how I want to go out, with a testimony on my lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he doesn't want a miracle healing. He just wants to go home. So, Rob, if you're listening, we're going to pray for you to go home. And we're going to ask the Lord to give you courage and comfort. And you're a blessing, brother. You're a blessing. And you have strengthened the faith of many, many people. And we are praying for you, and we're praying that the rapture happens first. But if the Lord tarries, we're praying that the Lord takes you home as you wish. And the sooner the better. And amen, brother. Hang in there. Jill says, please pray for Rhonda and Emmy as I gave them Bibles. Oh, as I give them Bibles and tell them about Jesus. And Jill has gotten on fire for the Lord and handing out Bibles. And that's a blessing to see that. CJ says, please pray for little Teddy, brain cancer, not doing well. Natalie says, Ken is not doing well, needs prayer, seems to be getting weaker, 5 months since surgery. And we got to pray for Ken today. Jules says, good morning, Pastor from the Philippines. I have a prayer request for Mary Alia Obispo and her family to be saved, for me to achieve true understanding of the Bible and message of God. Well, we'll be happy to pray for Mary Obispo. And if you want a better understanding of the Bible, we invite you to join us on our Wednesday night Bible studies and any program, because we talk about the Bible on every program. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. And Lord, we just come before you today. Our brother Rob wants to go home, and he's tired. He's tired of the fight. He's tired of the battle, and he just wants to be with you, and he's saved, Lord, and he's ready to go. His bags are packed. And Lord, we just commit him to your care and to your hand. You could do anything. You could give him the miracle healing. You could take him as I speak. You could do anything, God. And for every one of these prayer requests for the healing and reconciliation and restoration and transgender confusion and all this crazy stuff, we just pray, Lord, your will be done. Not our will, but your will be done. And Father God, give a healing where healing is needed. Give reconciliation and restoration where that's needed. Give the spirit of peace where that is needed, and God will give you all the honor and the glory and the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Well, welcome to the podcast, everybody. We were a couple minutes late in getting started today because I wasn't really sure what I wanted to talk about. I saw something called the Reformation Project. Maybe you haven't heard of the Reformation Project, but this is something that goes hand in hand with what Andy Stanley has been advocating for, and that is the integration of the LGBTQIA+ into the professing Christian church. And these are not repentant LGBTQers. These are people who do what they do and have justified it and want it to continue. Andy Stanley, when he talks about gays and the church, he's not talking about gays that have repented, like alcoholics that have gotten sober. Look, I'll be the first to tell you, if you were to ask me about alcohol, I will tell you it's from the devil. And you might respond to me and you might say, well, hey, brother, I don't have that problem that you have. And I have Christian liberty. And if I want to have a cocktail or a glass of wine with my dinner, I have the liberty to do that. Well, my answer to you would be, yeah, you do have the Christian liberty to do that. But that doesn't change the fact that wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And I'll be the first to tell you that alcohol is bad. All alcohol. I'm not talking about people who can tolerate it. I'm not talking about people who can control it. I'm talking about the human consumption of alcohol for recreational purposes. It is evil. It is of the devil. And I don't care what you say. I have experienced that firsthand. And that's just the way it is, because I'm going to tell you the truth. Well, In much the same way, we talk about the LGBTQIA2 spirit being integrated into the professing church. It is wrong. It is wicked, and it is evil. And if your church is an LGBTQIA2 spirit affirming church, you are in a church that is run by Satan. And if that offends you, then you need to be offended. And if that offends you, you should click off of this program right now, because we are only getting warmed up. I'm going to show you today that Andy Stanley, he is the mega church pastor over 10 different churches in the Atlanta, Georgia region. He has a combined listening audience of 250,000 people, and I'm going to show you today that Andy Stanley is a deceiver sent by Satan himself. It is time to take off the gloves. It is time to stop worrying about hurting other people's feelings and being tolerant. Today, we're going to be intolerant. Today, we're going to show you that Satan is in the church. I'm not talking about the body of Christ. Now, don't confuse the two. The body of Christ, there's no gay people in the body of Christ. There's no drunks in the body of Christ. The body of Christ is made up of born-again believers who are sealed unto the day of redemption. The church, on the other hand, is a big, fat, stinking mess, is what it is. And there are people who fight me about the falling away. There are people who fight me about the Laodicean church not referring to the end of the church age. And I am here to tell you that that is just insanity. It is happening all around us. Now, take a listen to this clip. Take a listen to this clip that I have entitled, Andy Stanley Destroys the Bible in 2 minutes. Take a listen to this mess.
It really begins like this. Many of you, you're like me, many of you were brought up to believe this. Jesus loves me, this I know, right? I mean, it's a fabulous song. Most of our kids are still singing this song. We sang this song. Jesus loves me, this I know. What's the next line? Right, for the Bible tells me so. And this is where our trouble began. It really did. This is where our trouble began because, and don't leave, because the implication is, this is important. The implication is the Bible is the reason we believe. The Bible is the reason to believe. In other words, I can believe Jesus loves me because it's in the Bible. I grew up in a church where basically the byline, the subtitle for everything was, if the Bible says it, that, anybody? Settles it right here on the front row. Yeah, that's right. If the Bible says it, that settles it. And so we send kids off to college with a, if the Bible says it, that settles it. And oh my goodness, they discover that that didn't settle it. And then they come home and they say, Mom, Dad, Grandma, my granddad, Uncle, Aunt, did you know? And it's like, I don't ask those questions. The Bible says it, that settles it. The Bible says it, that settles it. The problem is this. The problem with that is this. If the Bible is the foundation of our faith, if the Bible is the foundation of our faith, as the Bible goes, so goes our faith. In other words, Christianity cannot survive if the Bible goes away. Christianity cannot survive if somehow every single part of the Bible isn't absolutely true if the Bible is the foundation of our faith. If the Bible is the foundation of our faith, it is all or nothing. This is why when you grew or growing up, every once in a while, you would bring information to your parents or your grandparents or maybe somebody else who was raising you. And you'd say, today at school we learned, and they just kind of shut you down. Well, we don't believe that. We don't believe that. We don't believe that. We're Christians. We don't believe that. It's like, yeah, but it's true. Well, we don't believe that. Well, what was that about? Why are Christians so afraid? Why are Christians so fearful? Why are we not the most curious people and scientifically oriented people in the world? And I'll tell you why. because you were raised in a culture like I was raised in, and it was all or nothing. If anything proves that something in the Bible isn't actually, absolutely, historically, scientifically reliable, the whole thing comes tumbling down, because this version of Christianity is a house of cards. And all you have to do is pull out one card and the whole thing comes tumbling down. Christianity becomes a fragile house of cards that comes tumbling down when we discover that perhaps the walls of Jericho didn't. When we discover or we're told that perhaps there was no exodus from Egypt to the promised land, that there's no historical evidence of that. When we're told in school and in graduate school that there's no evidence for a worldwide flood. When people point out apparent contradictions in the Bible, when in school we're told there's no way the earth is 6,000 years old, it's 4.5 or 4.55 billion years old, and the universe is 14.5 billion years old, and all of a sudden all we have to do, you know, the tension is around, the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says, but science has said, the Bible says, science has said, the Bible says, and all of a sudden there's this extraordinary, extraordinary tension. If the entire Bible isn't true, then let's be honest. The Bible isn't true.
So there you have megachurch pastor Andy Stanley. He starts off our roster today. Andy Stanley is a wicked, wicked man. He is a ravening wolf. He is a deceiver. The book of Jude talks about pastors like Andy Stanley. Jude 1:11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kori. These are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And we're living in a day and age, the Apostle Paul said, that after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in, not sparing the flock. John says that they went out from us, but they were not of us. 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So what am I talking about today if you're just tuning in? I'm talking about the church. And the Bible says this, and if you can't receive it, that doesn't mean that it's not true. That just means that you can't receive it, and that's fine. But when I read Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, that was one of the churches that Paul wrote letters to, Colossians 4:16. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, in neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Jesus says to the church in 2023, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So, we are living at the end of the church age. And so, back when revival was happening, back in the 19th century, God raised up spiritual giants. like D.L. Moody and Billy Sunday, and they preached, and real revival happened. Liquor stores closed down, movie theaters closed down. Real, authentic revival that resulted in the salvation of millions of people, thousands of churches being planted, and it was true Holy Spirit revival. Andy Stanley, on the other hand, he wants to welcome gays into the church. And I'm not going to play this whole clip. I played it before, but it's necessary context for the actual clip that I want to play. So take a listen to 30 seconds of Andy Stanley welcoming the two-spirit LGBTQIA+ into the church.
Figure out how to get straight people as excited about serving and engaging as the gay men and women I know, we would have a volunteer backlog. That's my experience in our churches. Well, I'm a gay person. I'll just read it to you. A gay person, when I say gay men and women, okay, a gay person who still wants to attend church after the way the church has treated the gay community, I'm telling you, they have more faith than I do. They have more faith than a lot of you. A gay person who knows, you know what, I might not be accepted here, but I'm going to try it anyway. Have you ever done that as a straight person? Where do you go that you're not sure you're going to be accepted, and you go over and over and over and over?
All right, so I have played that clip many, many times, and I'm not going to make you listen to that whole thing again. I just wanted to remind you that there is a push happening right now, and it is happening in evangelical churches, it is happening in charismatic churches, and it is happening in Baptist churches. What is that push? That push is to let the LGBTQIA+ into the church, into the professing Christian church, on their own terms. You know, in Alcoholics Anonymous, they have a saying that if you want to get sober, you have to live life on life's terms. Now, Alcoholics Anonymous is not really a Christian program, but if you've ever read their literature, there's lots of quotes from the Bible and lots of events that took place in the Bible that are talked about in the AA Big Book. It's not a Christian organization, not at all. But it does, when you read that big book, there are dozens and dozens of Bible references. And so if you go to AA and you want to get sober, the first thing that they tell you to do is you have to have a higher power, and my higher power is Jesus Christ, crucified, died, and buried, risen again on the third day, according to the scriptures. You got to have a higher power, and then you have to live life on life's terms. And what does that mean? Well, bad things happen to everybody, and one of the things that alcoholics will do repetitively is that when something distressing happens, an alcoholic will turn to the bottle for comfort. And that is not living life on life's terms. Living life on life's terms, you understand, God will send you good things. God will send you bad things. You know, God makes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust, on the good and on the evil. And if you're going to get sober, you've got to be willing to accept that you don't control life. Life happens. Now, that's the perspective of a lost person, but there's a lot of truth to that. In the Bible, Luke chapter 22, verses 41 through 43, Luke 22, 41 through 43, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. So if you go to AA, they tell you that you got to live life on life's terms. But when you get saved, if you want to be a Christian, you got to live life on God's terms. It is not your will, not my will, but thy will, Father God, be done. So I said all that to say this. Andy Stanley is part of a rapidly rising movement that has infected every Christian denomination, every single one, including the counterfeit Christian denomination of the Roman Catholic Church. And this idea that you're going to let in the LGBTQIA plus on their own terms into the church, well, when that happens, you don't have a church. You have a synagogue of Satan at that point. Now, there is a man by the name of Matthew Vines, and I haven't talked about him for a number of years, but he started this thing about 11 years ago where, as far as I can tell, this whole movement to get the LGBTQ into the church started with Matthew Vines, Rick Warren, and Pope Francis. And Matthew Vines is a gay Christian. That's what he calls himself. And there's no such thing as a gay Christian, because a Christian is somebody who follows Jesus Christ. And if you're unrepentantly gay, you are not following Jesus Christ. So no such thing as a gay Christian. But Matthew Vines has started a website called the Reformation Project. And I just want to read a little bit of it to you so that when I play the clip, you understand what this guy is all about. The Reformation Project says this: the experience of sound Christian teaching should show good fruit, not bad fruit. Non-affirming beliefs about same-sex relationships and transgender people can contribute to serious harm in LGBTQ people's lives. From the inclusion of Gentiles in the church to the abolition of slavery, the church has a long history of revisiting the biblical text in light of compelling evidence that prevailing interpretations do not align with Jesus' teaching in Matthew 7 that good trees bear good fruit. He also says that gay Christians do not have to be celibate. And so what is he saying? What is he saying? He is saying, and some of you may have heard of this woman. Oh, yeah, here it is. Before I play that clip with Matthew Vines, how many of you in the chat room have heard of a woman by the name of Jen Hatmaker? Jen Hatmaker. Let me just see in the chat room if her name is familiar to you at all. And Jen Hatmaker, she's up there. She's kind of like a Beth Moore, Paula White type of person. She is talking about the Reformation Project. Take a listen to what Jen Hatmaker has to say about Matthew Vines' Reformation Project.
So for me, the real turn, when I'm hanging on to this framework that Jesus gave us, I cannot help but he's a smart guy. Like, this was something worth, this is a tool worth using. Where it really, really turned for me was when I looked over to the other tree, to the affirming tree, planted in the soil of love and dignity and honor and integrity, just absolutely blooming. Blooming. Again, I don't care who you are. You cannot argue that the fruit of that tree is not gorgeous. It's gorgeous. I saw gay Christians deeply and beautifully in love with one another, raising gorgeous families. I saw them using their gifts inside the church. I saw them adding their like special brand of brilliance onto exegesis and onto theology, just broadening what it is we understood and how. It was just undeniable that if this is so-called bad tree is bearing this much good fruit, we've got our tree swapped. That's the problem. We've got our tree swapped.
All right, so there's Jen Hatmaker, and she was talking about the Reformation Project. And she was saying that what a wonderful thing that it is when you see two gay men or two lesbians raising children and teaching them their diversity, inclusion, gender fluidity teachings, that those things are good and they are honoring to God. And that's exactly what First Baptist Church of Orlando teaches. That's exactly what Rick Warren teaches. That's what Pope Francis teaches. That's what Andy Stanley teaches. Now, the reason why all of this is so dangerous is because there used to be a time when you could tell the difference between the church and lost people. But as the falling away from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 2 Timothy chapter 4 has continued to progress, the line between saved people in the church and lost people in the church has gotten blurrier and blurrier and blurrier, to the point where we are about 6 months away from not being able to tell the difference at all. And this is what the falling away is truly all about. And look, I talk with people all the time, and they cannot wrap their heads around the fact that the church could fall away and people could still be saved. A lot of people will... they'll get on the phone with me, they'll want to argue with me, and they'll say, the falling away, the apostasy of the church, those people are the fake Christians, they're not saved. And that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that in the falling away, the saved people are not saying and doing anything different from what the lost people in the church are doing. That's what the falling away is. And turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'll show you how this is all possible. My friend Spencer Smith over on YouTube, he has a saying called Doctrine Matters. And we've been saying that for 14 years here. And he says that over on his YouTube channel. And if you've never checked out Spencer Smith's YouTube channel, I highly recommend that you do. And he talks about all this stuff as well. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, let me show you how important Bible doctrine is in the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Paul says to Timothy, I charge thee therefore, and Timothy is a type of the church. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. There's something he wants Timothy to do. Preach the word. Don't talk about your feelings. Don't talk about your emotions and what you wanted and didn't get and what other people wanted and what they got and who's in charge of what and who has more power and who's the deacon, who's the pastor. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. That means be ready at all times. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. That's what the Bible does. It reproves, it rebukes, it exhorts. This is why Andy Stanley hates the Bible. He wants you to get to the point where you don't trust that book. And then when you don't trust that book, you're not reproving anything, you're not rebuking anybody, and you're not exhorting anybody. But Paul says, reprove, rebuke, exhort, match that up with John 16, with all long suffering and doctrine. Now, why would Paul tell this to Timothy? And now Paul's going to prophesy. For the time will come, 2023, when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, Andy Stanley, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Paul is not talking about lost people. Paul is talking about saved people in the body of Christ who reach a point when they decide they have heard all the Bible doctrine that they care to listen to, they have read all the Bible accounts that they care to look at, and they close that book and say, let me just enjoy my life and stop annoying me. Paul is talking about saved people. Paul is talking to saved people. Now, we live in a day and age where doctrine has not been preached. And so when you have something like the phony revival at Asbury, and you have fake pastors like Greg Locke and his demon casting ministries, and fake pastors like Andy Stanley and Joyce Meyer and T.D. Jakes and Creflo Dollar and Benny Hinn and all these people, nobody would be confused if somebody would start preaching Bible doctrine. And Paul says in the last days, Christians will check out. And this is what's known as the falling away. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, Andy Woods and J.D. Farag, they believe that the falling away is the rapture of the church. That is nonsense. Absolute, literal nonsense. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the rapture of the church, shall not come except there come a falling away first. Now, what we're talking about today, ultimately, is the falling away of the church. This is not saved people losing their salvation, because in the church age, saved people cannot lose their salvation, because they have been sealed unto the day of redemption. And somebody post Ephesians 1, 12 through 14. Saved people cannot lose their salvation because they have been sealed unto the day of redemption. But what we're talking about is the falling away of the church. And what are they falling away from? They are falling away from Bible doctrine. They are falling away from rebuking, exhorting, reproving. They are no longer salt. They are no longer light. And they are now no good. And this is one reason for the rapture of the church. Have you ever thought about that? You won't find anybody preaching anywhere on the possibility that one of the reasons why God removes the church is because the church has become useless. The church has fallen away to such a degree, It is no longer salt. It is no longer light. And God says, all right, let me just call it home. Let's just put this mess through the judgment seat and let's just get this over with. But when the longer that I live and the longer that I study that book, the more I come to believe that one of the reasons for the rapture is because the church has become useless and powerless. But now, before you go running out of here all depressed, and I realize that we're talking about some very negative things, if you want a book that will be a blessing to you, go to BibleBeliever.com and get yourself a book called The Power of Negative Thinking. Lori's going to go to the bookstore website and post the link into the chat room. But check out a book by Dr. Ruckman called The Power of Negative Thinking. And I promise you, if you're saved, that book will it will be a blessing to you and it will make you laugh at the same time. But the only thing that you're laughing at is the fact that it's not you. Anyway, Revelation chapter 3, verses 20 through 22. Revelation chapter 3, verses 20 through 22. Let me show you the antidote, the vaccine. Let me show you the medicine for the Laodicean church. You do not have to be part of it. Revelation chapter 3, 20 through 22. Jesus has been kicked out of his own church. He's outside in the parking lot. And he says this in verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, this is not the door to your heart. In the context, it's the door to the church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh, overcome what? The Laodicean church. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So, you could have people that are lukewarm and in a Laodicean church, like Andy Stanley's church, lukewarm. He's not lukewarm. He is a red-hot wolf seeking whom he may devour. But the people who go to his church, they are lukewarm Laodiceans. And wouldn't it be great if somebody from one of Andy Stanley's churches was listening to this podcast today and they said to themselves, the Holy Spirit convicts them, and they say, you know what? Andy Stanley is a wolf, and he's trying to destroy my faith in the Bible, and I've been letting him do it. I've become a lukewarm Laodicean, but I don't want to stay in that condition. What do I do? Jesus is knocking at the door to your church. And if you open up that door and say, Jesus, I don't want to get out of the body of Christ, but I don't want to identify with this lukewarm church. Can you give me something to do for you that will make it through the judgment seat? Jesus says, hey, I will come into him. And I will sup with him and he with me. And that is the antidote to the lukewarm Laodicean church. And many, many, many people. Let me see in the chat room just by a show of hands. How many of you were lukewarm before you started listening to these programs that we do? Let me just see in the chat room, do we have anybody today that was lukewarm or not getting something done for the Lord before they started coming around here to Now the End Begins and getting on fire for God? Let me just see if there's anybody in the chat room who might fit that bill. Yeah, The overwhelming number of people. Now, there's a couple people who say no, and that's great. If you were on fire when you got here, God bless you. We need a lot more of you. But there is a lot of people who listen here that used to be. Northwind says, I've been at this for decades, but you've been a big help. Hash Brown says, NTEB inspired me to start passing out gospel tracts. And amen. Kyle Gorzel over in Baton Rouge. And if you've ever gone to his Facebook page to see what the Lord is doing through him, it's fantastic. But I can remember being on the phone with him 2 years ago. And he had the NIV Bible. He was lukewarm, but he didn't want to be. And we have many, many, many people here who have gotten on fire for God. So, Jen Hatmaker, Andy Stanley, Matthew Vines. It's called the Reformation Project. And I'm not going to subject you to more than 3 minutes of this, but just take a listen to Matthew Vines talking about LGBTQ inclusion in the church with the Reformation Project.
So, I'm going to go ahead and get started with The Bible Tells Me So, Hermeneutics and the Debate About LGBTQ Inclusion. Who has ever heard or seen a meme or a bumper sticker that looks something like this? The Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. I mean, there's something satisfying about that for a brief moment.
I'm going to stop Matthew Vines right there. Did you hear what he said? That is the exact same thing that Andy Stanley says. Exactly.
Like, yeah, all right, that was simple. You know, that required no thought. And in some ways, if that's how it works, like, wouldn't life be easy? But what I want to invite us to reflect on this morning is not just that that is a little bit reductive, a lot, but that actually no Christians truly believe that or practice it when they approach the biblical text. It may be a nice idea for people, but no matter how conservative, no matter the denomination, there are always biblical texts that people will come to and say, well, like, this is a little more complicated. And that's okay. That is the nature of interpretation, but it's...
And again, I have to stop Matthew Vines right there. This is exactly what Andy Stanley says.
It's really important for us in talking about LGBT inclusion with people to make sure that we're able to let others start to really understand how they already have a more nuanced approach to their understanding of the Bible, and then just ask them to apply that more consistently to this conversation. So one of my main takeaways for you this morning is to know that even using the existing approved interpretive tools and methods in non-affirming churches, you can reach affirming conclusions simply by applying them consistently to this conversation.
So there's Matthew Vines preaching the same thing that Andy Stanley preaches. And where does that take you? Now, I'm going to say something really, really harsh right now. And I want you to pray about it. I want you to pray about it. If your church goes LGBTQIA plus affirming, you need to get out. I'm not talking about bringing in lost people to hear the preaching. I think a church, if we had a brick and mortar church and somebody was bringing in gay people to hear the message, I would love that. I would think that that would be fantastic, because gay people are lost and they need to hear the message. If somebody brought in people who were alcoholics or drug addicts, I would love that, because they would need to hear the message. And I would preach it hard. I would preach it straight, waist high over the plate. I would speak very plain. And look, D.L. Moody was kicked out of his church because he kept bringing in lost people. And church is a hospital for broken people and for lost people. It's a place where sick people can get well. And they get well by the preaching and teaching of the gospel. Now, that said, if your church becomes an affirming church, and look, I live in St. Augustine, Florida. Andy Stanley is only 5 hours up the street from me, 6 hours up the street from me. There are 200,000 people who listen to Andy Stanley every Wednesday, every Sunday. One of them is going to hear this broadcast. It's almost impossible that they wouldn't. And my message for you today is, if your church goes LGBTQIA two-spirit plus affirming, you need to pray about it. But I would believe that you would need to leave that church. Immediately, you would have to leave that church. Because once that church becomes affirming, you no longer have a church. And again, I'm not talking about the body of Christ. You can never leave the body of Christ. I'm talking about the church. And there's no denominations in heaven. Berta says, run, just run. And that's exactly my message, that if your church goes affirming, you need to get out. There is no question about that. Because if you stay, then you're going to be in the middle of a synagogue of Satan. You're going to have a church that has more devils in it than anything else. Because the affirming platform is exact opposite of the Bible. Jesus Christ is not LGBTQ affirming. He is LGBTQ rebuking, not affirming. I don't know if this is a joke, but it says a good friend of mine, a chaplain, worships on an LGBTQ affirming church. She is so liberal. That's wait a minute, you'll get it. Anyway, so this is what we're talking about today. Now let's turn the coin over. Let's turn the coin over and let's talk about the other side. Let's talk about, there's a movie. The name of this movie is called Nefarious. It is from the same people that made God Is Not Dead and Unplanned. It is recommended enthusiastically by Mormon Glenn Beck, the charismatic magazine Charisma, and the Roman Catholic priest, what is his name? Father Carlos Martin. Take a listen to the official trailer from the Christian movie Nefarious in theaters today.
Hello?
Thank you.
Execution scheduled for 11 p.m. But he's trying to convince us he's gone insane.
And therefore incapable of being executed.
I need you to prove he's faking it.
Edward?
I'm gonna ask you some questions.
I'm not Edward. I'm a demon.
Demons aren't really a thing. What happened to Edward?
We own him.
We?
He's a master manipulator. You have your head so twisted around, you think you're the killer, not him.
And give me something to make me believe you. Prove to me you're a demon.
It's probably just a coincidence.
I want to talk to
the real
Edward.
Makes me do bad.
I can't stop him.
I need you to see something. You got a fan. Did the same thing with all his victims.
Help me!
I'm trying to, Edward, but you have to answer my questions. You have to tell me the truth.
It won't let me!
It can go away. It can go away. Yes?
No. It's starting to happen. I think it's time we tell you exactly what it is that we'd like you to do.
So there's the trailer from the movie Nefarious, and in case you haven't noticed, the Christian world seems to be obsessed with demons right now. In Acts chapter 19, verse 15, it says, "And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" The Bible is a supernatural book. And the Bible shows you about supernatural things. There's no question about it. But the Bible is not a paranormal book. And because the church has been fed on a diet that's been devoid of doctrine for so many years, that Christians no longer have any discernment. James chapter 4, verse 7. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Have you ever seen the holy laughter of the charismatic movement? Have you ever looked at laughter in the Bible? It's almost all negative. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. But that's not what the church wants to do. They don't want to resist the devil. They want to fight him. And let me tell you something, Christian. You go head to head with the devil, you will lose. You can't beat the devil. There is one that has all power, that is Jesus Christ. And James is telling you, you better resist the devil, draw near to God, be afflicted, mourn, weep, humble yourselves before the Lord, and then God will put a hedge of protection about you. That's the exact opposite of what Greg Locke is doing out in Tennessee. Take a listen to this.
In the New Testament, is it verifiable that Christians can be attacked and oppressed by demons?
Come on.
God used controversy.
Look, I'm on the list.
He used CNN. He used the media. He used all of it to grow a massive size platform. Controversy built our platform.
Two, gender.
It was never about the controversy. It was never about the politics. I thought it was. I thought it was about Trump. I thought it was about COVID. But God built our platform for deliverance.
We are headed more into seeing prophecy fulfilled before our very eyes.
There's a kingdom of righteousness and there's a kingdom of darkness.
Something in our being craves something supernatural.
If you're addicted to something, you have company.
And he said in the last days, the church will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. They will begin to listen to demonic doctrines.
He doesn't mind you going to church. He doesn't mind you praising as long as you don't change.
There's a great awakening that is coming.
The kingdom of God is not about talk.
Jesus is king!
It's about power and demonstration.
The state of the church in the United States, I believe, needs a reawakening of deliverance because of the evil that's going around.
Christians can be under the influence of satanic oppression. 100% they can. You see, redemption and salvation is for the lost. Deliverance is to set the captives free.
The Word of God says, these signs shall follow them that believe. The plan of the enemy is to keep the church quiet.
Come out, son of God. Come out right now in the name of Jesus.
Deliverance is for the people of God. Deliverance is for the church. I'm here to call this culture to Jesus Christ and cast out demons. Because these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils.
So there you have Greg Locke, and that was his movie called Come Out in Jesus' Name, and thankfully almost nobody went to see that piece of junk. You heard them say multiple times, I counted two at least, where they are claiming the scripture in Mark chapter 16, and that is not doctrine for a Christian in the church age. Now, if Greg Locke would ever bother to open up his Bible, I'm sure he's not King James anymore, but if Greg Locke would ever open up his, what, NIV, ESV, Good News for Modern Man, anyway, if Greg Locke would bother to open up his Bible, a King James Bible, the word deliverance appears exactly 16 times in 15 different verses. Genesis 45:7, let's look at the law of first mention. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And if you look at the other 15 times, that word deliverance is used without exception. It is used in reference to the Jewish people. It's only mentioned once in the Gospels, Luke 4:18, and he is quoting Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now, that is not a deliverance ministry in terms of casting out demons or devils. When the Bible says that we are to preach deliverance to the captives, that is 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the deliverance. We are not to perform deliverance, but to preach deliverance. That's what we are called to do. So, this whole idea of a deliverance ministry, that the sole purpose of that, the sole purpose of that is to attract followers, to grow his ministry, to gain fame, to gain notoriety. That's the whole purpose of a deliverance ministry. And what you'll notice if you follow any of them, and I only follow them because I have to, but if you follow these people, every couple of months you see that it gets wilder, it gets crazier, it gets more outrageous, it gets more exaggerated. Just like with the charismatic church and their phony signs, miracles, and wonders. Angel feathers are dropping down from the ceiling. Gold teeth are appearing on the floor. Gold dust is coming through the ventilation system. And with each passing moment, it gets ratcheted up more and more sensationally. And the reason for that is, if you're preaching sensationalism, after somebody has heard your message once or twice, they won't come back unless you ramp it up. They won't come back unless you continue to make it more and more and more sensational. And so, what do we see with this deliverance ministry? We see a Christian church, a doctrine deficient and doctrine deprived Christian church that knows nothing about the Bible. And what are they focused on? They are focused on casting out demons. The Apostle Paul doesn't tell you to do that. That's not doctrine to a Christian. The Apostle Paul doesn't even use the word deliverance. Now, over in Rome at the Vatican, they've created something, a paranormal investigation committee attached to a group called the Pontifical Mariana International Academy. And what do they want to do is they want to study the phenomenon of the bleeding statue. Now, if I was at a church and there was a statue there, a statue of anybody, anything, and that statue started to drip blood from the eyes of the statue, I would take a hammer and I would smash that thing immediately. And then I would take the pieces and I would blow them into the dirt. But if you're a Roman Catholic, you can't do that. If you're a Roman Catholic, you have to bow down and you have to worship that statue. Why? Because that's what the Roman Catholic Church teaches. They teach that this type of phenomenon is for Christians, that it's for the church, and this is what Christians need to do. And so what happens is you have people, Catholics, most of whom are not Christians. There's some saved people in the Catholic Church, but not a lot of them. And now these same people are being instructed to fall down and worship at the feet of statues that have blood coming out of the eyes. Now, that to me, I mean, you want to talk about Satanism, that is the definition of Satanism. If you're praying to a statue, that's idol worship, no question about it. But if you're praying to a statue that is bleeding from the eyes, which is impossible, that is not the supernatural. That is the paranormal. And you need to understand the difference between the paranormal, which is that's the things of Satan. The supernatural, that is the realm of God. And there's a huge difference between those two things, the paranormal and the supernatural. God is in the supernatural. The Bible is a supernatural book. But the Bible is not a paranormal book. Now, the Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 2, wherein ye time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And the Bible says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And that's where the paranormal is. And how do you fight that? Well, Revelation chapter 3, Jesus is knocking on the door. You open the door and you let him in. You sup with him and he with you. And he gives you a job to do. Now, the Apostle Paul, he doesn't give us a deliverance ministry. He gives us this. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And the passage goes on and on. When you have time, read all of that, all the way down to verse 19 and verse 20. That's what Christians are called to do. We are not called to the paranormal. Movies like Nefarious and Come Out in Jesus' Name and all of this crazy garbage that is associated now with the Christian church, these deliverance ministries, you got to stay far away from those people. If your church goes LGBTQ affirming, you got to rebuke them. Stand up in the congregation. Rebuke the pastor openly. Let everybody hear where you stand. And if they'll take the rebuke and if they'll change, let me tell you something. You want to know a secret about the pastor in the church? The pastor is not a pope. He's not a king. He doesn't have power over you. We only have 4 minutes left. We don't have time to go into a Bible study on the role of a bishop or a pastor. But the whole role of a pastor of a church is to preach and teach the Bible and to give you spiritual guidance and direction. They are not God's anointed. They are not prophets. They are not untouchable. If they're preaching and teaching the wrong thing, any saved Christian can rebuke them. Any saved Christian. Now, just like you would rebuke anybody else, you do it respectfully. No name calling. You know, when I say that Andy Stanley is a wolf, I'm not calling him a name. I'm describing him to you. If your church begins to be affirming, rebuke it. If your pastor begins to preach and teach any of the things that we're talking about today, if your church suddenly becomes a deliverance ministry, stand up and tell the pastor that Mark chapter 16 is not written to the Christian church, and it is not doctrine for Christians. And you can do that nicely, respectfully, and you can do it firmly and strongly, but that's what I would do. That's what I would do. And look, we're in the closing days of the church age, closing hours of the church age. You got to decide how much that book means to you. I can't decide that for you. I can only tell you what it means to me. And my King James Bible is God's preserved word, and I will preach it, I will teach it, I will stand on it, I will stand for it, I will defend it. But that's what that book means to me personally. I didn't just come to be King James only because I thought it might get me some followers online. I was King James only before there was an internet. I was a King James only person before 98% of the world had a home computer. I have been King James only for 32 years because that's what that book means to me. Now, if you're not careful, you're going to lose it. And the scary part will be it's going to go and you won't even know that it's gone. The saddest emails that I ever get start out like this. I used to believe what you believe, but I don't believe that anymore. And then you can fill in the blanks. I don't believe about Bible doctrine anymore. I don't believe about the King James anymore. I don't believe about the rapture anymore. And I get dozens and dozens of comments and emails like that on a yearly basis. It's the saddest thing that anybody ever writes to me. I used to believe like you believe, but I don't anymore. Don't let them take the book from you, including your pastor. Don't let them take it from you. And with that, we've come to the end of our time. Heavenly Father, please watch over this flock, this congregation. Watch over me and continue to lead us and guide us forward. Give us power to preach and teach your word. Give us power to get lots of Bibles out there, lots of gospel tracts out there, and use us to get something done for you, Lord, in these closing moments of the church age. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you, everybody. It was a negative program today for sure, but it was a necessary negative program because you need to know about these things. You need to stay away from these things. Don't go see the movie Nefarious. Don't expose yourself to that. I don't care. I mean, look, Glenn Beck, a Catholic priest in Charisma magazine, as far as I'm concerned, that's three strikes and you're out. But anyway, have a good weekend, everybody. Get something done for the Lord Jesus Christ. Go hand out some gospel tracts. And Lord willing, we'll see you back here Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern time, for another NTEB House Church Sunday service. Have a great weekend, everybody. In the middle.
because I know that He first loved me. Praise to the man who died on Mount Calvary, the middleman made possible that I might go free. A hill called Golgotha, the place of a skull. No yellow flowers, no trees in bloom, the scenery was dull. Three crosses stood black and bold against the darkened sky. It was not from pain, but a broken heart that middle man died. I love that man in the middle, because I know that he first loved me. Died on Mount Calvary, the middleman made possible that I might go free. Yes, that middleman made it possible.